Welcome to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Our mission is to bring you discussions on a wide array of topics in the coaching world to grow players on and off the court. You can connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and also reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Coach Mike Hernandez.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you guys again so much for joining us. Wherever in the world you're listening to us from, whatever platform you're listening to us on, as always, thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you for the kind messages. Thank you for the questions, the emails, the tweets, all of that great stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And appreciate you joining us here for another episode. I love, as you all know, love talking about culture. I love talking about like intangibles. And I love talking about X's and O's, but that intangible and that culture and program building and all that other stuff that you really can't quantify. Love having discussions about that, which is what we are doing today. Talking about hard work mindset. And I like this because in order to have that conversation, my guest, we kind of going to get into like what hard work actually means. You know, I think that for everybody, they almost have their own definition, especially our players, as to what hard work means. But we're going to kind of get into, you know, what hard work mindset is. What does it look like on the court? Even a little bit maybe of what's the difference between, you know, hard work versus like fake hustle, which you hear a lot about in the basketball court, and just some general culture elements as well. So I think we always want our teams to work harder, always want our players to work harder and be smart about it as well. So I know you listening are going to get something out of this because we're talking about a topic that relates to all of us here as we talk about hard work mindset. So very happy to be joined by somebody who is relatively local to me because they're out in Arizona. Men's basketball coach at Highland Prep, Coach Trent Hill, is joining us today. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Man, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Coach. Let's go ahead and get started with your basketball journey and your coaching journey and the steps that led you to Highland Prep, because I know that it's a relatively new school, so there's maybe a little twists and turns there that ended up taking you there. So what's that journey like, Coach?
Yeah, man, I like telling this story because, you know, people always ask, well, how'd you get into basketball? Because, you know, most people that meet me, I'm a big guy, about 6'2", 6'3", you know, 270, just a big guy. I love playing football. I love playing baseball. Basketball was kind of my third sport. So I played all three sports. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated high school, I just started working because, you know, academics are huge. So and when I was younger, I didn't take it serious. So that's part of the hard work mindset that I have for our kids is, you know, you got to go get it, you know, and I'll get into more of that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But so I just fell in love with basketball after high school. And played a lot. Played on a traveling team in Nebraska, out of Schuyler, Nebraska. It was like a semi. They called it semi-pro, but we obviously weren't at that level of a semi-pro. But we traveled around and played other teams, and we played in the Y. And I just really just started falling in love with the X's and O's and how to, you know, getting the plays designed and defense. And a job came open in Columbus, Nebraska. It was a junior college, Central Community College there. I was 26 years old at the time. And I go, you know what? I'm going to apply for that. I had a full-time job. I went to work at 4 in the morning. I'd get off at 2:30 in the afternoon. And the requirements for this job was, you know, you needed to be there from like 4 to 8 at night, you know, for practice and everything. So I put in my resume, and I had been working in Schuyler for about 5 or 6 years and moved into management. So I had a good like resume as far as dealing with people and managing people, managing, you know, budget and showing responsibility. Mm-hmm. So they ended up interviewing me, and there was three candidates they interviewed. And, you know, a week went by, nothing, a couple weeks went by, and the coach calls me and goes, can you stop by the school? And I go, heck yeah, man. And so I go up there, and he's like, I'm just going to cut it, dude. You don't have any experience, but you interviewed well. You showed passion. You were, you know, you were enthused. You were, you could, I could see it in your eyes. You wanted to be here. And he goes, I'm going to put you on my staff. And he goes, the reason I'm going to put you on my staff is because I don't want anyone telling me how to run my program. I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to learn from me, and we're going to run the program the way I want it, and I think you will follow what I want done. So my inexperience got me the job at a JUCO. It was just him and me. You know, it paid me like $2,500.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, man, I was so excited. So I did that for 3 years, you know, out there. And it got to be real tiresome. I had a son at the time. He used to jump on the buses with us and go on road trips. And then it just got to be where, you know, I was wanting more. And my job had offered me a position in Texas to move. And so I talked with my wife, and we just had another son. He wasn't even a year old yet. And I was like, you know, babe, let's move, or what do we want to do? So we just decided, hey, we're going to pick up and move. And what was crazy is I go back to the school, and I'm getting ready to tell the coach, hey, man, you know, this will be my last, you know, month with the team. I'll finish the season out. We made the national tournament that season, which was cool. Top eight teams in junior basketball, JUCO basketball, Division II. So it had been like a Pima. And it was awesome. And he goes, you know what, dude? I'm leaving, and I was going to recommend you to take over the program. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I go,
oh, wow.
Dude, I just accepted a job in Texas, you know. And so I obviously went to Texas. And I did not take that junior college job because of the pay and where I was at in my life at the time, where I couldn't afford to take that, because I know the time and dedication it takes to build a program.
Sure.
And I couldn't be a head coach at that time because I felt I couldn't afford it, or I didn't have the time to put in to being a true head coach. So we ended up moving to Texas, and then just coached my son in Texas, and as he's a little kid, you know, growing up. And then my work moved me out to Colorado, and I went out there, and we started a little AAU program, and we did real well out there and coached up my son. And then, heck, man, we moved here to Phoenix because I was tired of doing what I was doing. I was always wanting to get back into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved out here, and I come out here without a job, man.
Yeah. That's yeah, one way to do it. Yeah.
So I come out, I was Ubering, and I had worked in the meatpacking business for 20 some years now, and there's a business, it's JBS, it's out in Tolleson, come recruiting me. And so I ended up going to work for them. And at the same time, I was, you know, getting involved with the club teams, getting to know some people. Joseph Coletti, Willow's coach, had me get on with him a couple summers and help him out with his club called Relentless. You know, they're a 5A school over here in Surprise, Arizona. And then I a job opening came home at a middle school, and where my son was at, and I was like, hey, you guys need a coach? And I showed him my resume and said, oh yeah, come on. So I did that for 2 years. I got to coach, you know, like Ben Asai's boy and Adam Asai and Dallas Marker, and those guys that are at Valley right now. They're seniors, great kids. Got to coach them their eighth grade year, and then I stayed one more year with my son. And then that year, he had to decide where he wanted to go to high school. So, you know, Willow was our first choice, and then he ended up picking Highland Prep because he took a tour and got to spend the day there. And there's nothing against no school, but he just felt more comfortable there as far as the teaching and all the, you know, he felt like the kids were there to actually go to school and learn. And, you know, sometimes the pub schools can be kind of crazy, which it's not their fault. You know, they got to accept everyone and everyone's got to come. And he just felt like it would be like the kids were, he wanted to be around kids that wanted to be successful, and all the kids that go there want that.
Sure.
So he picked to go there. And then I was just watching, we went to his first basketball game, and the coach was over there coaching, and he had no assistants. He had nothing, man. He was all by himself. And I was like, and I was watching the game, and I was like, man, if I'm going to watch, I got to help, because there's just a lot of things I'm very picky on as far as hustling. Like, kid makes a bad play and he walks back on defense. And that's what some of the things that was going on And I was thinking, like, man, if I'm going to come watch this for four years, it's going to be a struggle for me. So what can I do to help? And so I went to the school and, you know, told them my background and how I'd been helping here and the JUCO journey and, you know, with Coach Coletti and then, you know, the middle school. And I said, you know, I'm big on fundamentals and I see that's what we need. And you know, I get off work at 2:30. I can be here for any type of practices. And I told them, I'll do it for free. I said, you don't have to pay me anything. You know, the stipends aren't super great anyway, but it was just like the point, like, I want to just be part of it. And so they put me on. And what was crazy is halfway through the season, the coach was Mr. Klapek, Coach Klapek. He ended up getting the vice principal job. So he moved into administration. And so they didn't make a change at that time, but he had to go and do, you know, different functions for the school. And sometimes I'd have to go take the boys and coach a basketball game, you know, without him or, you know, so I was coaching the boys, running practices, you know, after I'd get off work, you know, I'd go out here. I started at 4 a.m. too. And then in the summer come around and they asked me if I just wanted to take over the program. And I said, let me get with my wife because I want to make sure, we're good with the time it takes. Cause when I do something like that, I know how much time it takes to be successful.
Yeah,
I could have went in it. I could have went in it and just put an hour with the boys or two a day, just during the season, but that's just not how I am. We're going to grind. We're going to have morning sessions, afternoon sessions, you know, it's volunteer in the summer. So if you want to come in, you're not, but I'm going to have the gym open. The gym's going to be open. And we're going to figure out, you know, how to get better. And so I talked with her and, you know, obviously I'm here and I took the job and then I actually retired this year from my job. So I'm in and I'm just going and I'm loving it. And it's been a great experience. The school supports me 100%. I get to do a little subbing sometimes. I'm like emergency call sub.
I can't find someone
because it's just tough in Arizona, you know. I just think I respect the teachers so much by just subbing and seeing some of the things they go through, and I have no, like, the level of what they do is amazing to me, and to keep kids organized and on task and focused and to do it every day for 8 hours and you know, I think, you know, sometimes people are like, well, they get the summer off. Well, I think they might need it just to rest, stressful, mental. It's very time consuming too. They're there early at 7 a.m. They don't leave till 4, you know? So it's just, I got to see it from a different point of view, and I definitely respect the teachers for sure. But that's kind of my journey, man.
And I have to ask, because this has been burning in my mind ever since we first organized this conversation, is how do you feel about the Honey Badgers mascot and name? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I kind of like it. I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's different. The logo's pretty cool. You know, he's got the
Badgers. It's a nice logo.
And so, I think it's cool. I bought some white Converse, and there's kids at the school that are such great artists that they're designing me a one of a kind shoe with some Honey Badger logos on it and basketballs and Coach Hill, and they're gonna deck it out. I can't wait to get them. I'm hoping to get them before playoffs, so I can wear them out there just to style them. But it's pretty cool, man.
That is. Coach, talk to me about offense and defense. What do you like running on the court, and where does that hard work mindset fit into what you guys are trying to run?
Yeah, man. I've really turned into more of, I love man-to-man defense, and it takes a lot of guts and courage and to get down and gritty and try to stay in front of someone, especially with the trainers and all the skill sets that kids are learning today. And, you know, every kid gets to carry the ball a little bit. So it's even harder to stay in front of those guys. But you know, we start off practicing with our defensive slides, then we do man-to-man work, and then we do two-on-one work. That's at more at the beginning of the season, off-season stuff. You know, when season gets around, we're working on some sets. For offense, man, I like to go as fast as we can, push ball, get to the rim. I love hucking threes. Sometimes, though, that can be a bad thing because if you're not on and the other team's getting to the and if the other team's getting to the rim, you know, you're in trouble. But defensively, too, I love trapping. I like chaos, and I like speeding up the team because we all know, we always say we need to practice faster with our shooting in practice to simulate games, and it's very difficult to do that. So during the games, I love speeding teams up, trying to trap them, press them. The good teams, man, with good ball handlers and stuff, they handle stuff pretty good. The teams that are, you know, let's just say average, they struggle with that. But the hard work mindset is we're going to fly around. We're going to dive on the floor for the ball. We're going to help each other up. We're going to pat each other on the butt. But if you make a mistake, you can ask my guys, man, I will chew their butt if they make a mistake and they don't hustle. It's not even hustle. I want to see them sprint because you can tell when a kid's trying to sprint but not sprinting, like he's flailing his arms, like he's trying to give it everything he's got. He's really not, because as a coach, once you're around your kids a lot, you know them, you know when they're giving you everything they got. And so my big thing is everyone's going to miss a layup, everyone's going to air ball shot, everyone's going to get the ball stolen from, everyone's going to make a bad pass. There's going to be a lot of errors, but it's what you do after you make the error. Now, if you pout and you make back-to-back errors, you just hurt us twice. So then that's when you come sit on the bench. But, you know, the hard work is putting it in when nobody's looking. I always say that to the boys. It's like even this summer when I have a training program and I had a bunch of girls in there, I said, you know, you guys are spending 1 or 2 hours. You're spending 2 to 3 hours a week with me. It's what you're doing when no one's looking that's going to count. And here you should be learning what I and listening to what I'm trying to tell you, and then you go work on that on your own, you know. And here I'm just gonna, you're gonna get what I see, and yeah, I'm gonna help you hold your form right, elbow in, popping wrist, you know, dribbling with your eyes up, seeing the floor, working on ball handling, but all that's got to be done on your own, and that takes hard work. No one likes to go do that. No one wants to go do that stuff. Because it's not fun. But I said, what's fun is when you're on the court and you're succeeding. So that should help drive you. That should help motivate you to be a better basketball player, better teammate, better person. You know, our school is very strict on grades. If we have a kid hit a 69, he can't play. So, and it's week to week. So that hard work, you got to be on it. Like, so when the quarter changed over that first week, man, I had to sit a kid because he got a 68 on a test, and that's the only assignment they had in. So I had to sit him for that week, and then he gets to come back once he proves he can get above a 70. They get assignments in. And so they have to be very, very focused, especially when they're doing sports, so they can stay playing. We don't even let them practice. So they have to come and sit outside the gym, and they have to bring a book. I make them bring a book. They have to put their cell phone away. They have to be on the, you know, the school canvas working on something that they can show me, or they got to be reading, because I try to put a lot of pressure on them. It's like, hey, you know, the ultimate goal is for you to learn how to succeed in life. And if you can't pass your classes, you can't do the little things, what someone asks you to do, how are you going to do it when you have to really get a job, when you have to pay your bills? So, you know, sometimes I think the boys get annoyed with me because I'm like, this is real life stuff. You guys got to, you know, they just want to, hey, coach, we just want to play, man. Don't give us no real life stuff today. So it's, you know, they push back on me a little bit, but it's okay. I'll take it. But I just want them to understand that, you know, nothing's given to you in this world, and you got to work hard to get whatever you want. and to go wherever you want. If you want to, if you're very content, you know, you can be that way too, but you're not going to have the things you really, really want in life. And, you know, a lot of kids are materialistic right now. They want a lot of stuff. But I said, if you don't have a job, you don't make money, you can't have that stuff, because eventually your mom and dad are not going to pay your way. Trust me, I've lived it. But yeah, go ahead, man.
But I was gonna say, like, I think that one of the, you know, the real toughest things is that man-to-man defense that you talked about. I think that the amount of effort, not only the effort that it takes to do it, but also the emotional and like mental fortitude to be willing to, you know, get on a guy and be willing to, you know, have to potentially get scored on a little bit, or have, you know, the potential that, you know, they might make a good move on you and might score on you, but still be able to come back. I think a lot of the mental toughness aspect to play man-to-man defense is something that it's really important that players understand how much work has to go in for them, not only to physically get better at man-to-man defense, but also to have the right mindset to do it as well.
Yeah, because it's you can get very tired doing it too, you know. A kid's getting buckets, he don't get tired, you know. A kid scoring 20 points, he's on his game, he's not getting tired. But a kid that has to try to shut down a kid that can average 20, you have to be in twice as better shape than the kid scoring 20. Because it's just a mental, it's a mental grind, because he's gonna score his buckets. It's just the way it is, you know. The great players find a way to get their buckets scored. But if you can just stay, I try to, you know, when they make a play, their hands up and they're in a guy's face and the guy hits a shot, I just try to say, hey, you were there. Nothing we can do about it. Good job. But if your hands down, you're playing lazy, you're standing up, you're not in an athletic stance, I'm going to get on you a little bit. But it definitely is a mental grind, because all the kids want to play offense. No one really wants to dig down and play defense, unless you really work on it and you emphasize it in your practices and you emphasize it all the time, that it's important to us, it's important to the game. You know, some of them great teams can really do it. I love watching Ironwood play. Those dudes get after it. That coach does a great job out there. They're just, man, they'll D you up full court. Work and work, and they help. You know, the big thing too with the is the communication. I struggle with that. I struggle with that with our boys. Sometimes they don't like to talk, and so, you know, they'll get a little conditioning when they're not talking and they're not in the help side and not sliding over or stunting and recovering, or, you know, sliding over trying to take a charge on the backside, or, you know, just little things like that. But it's just the mindset of playing, and even playing like a full court man, you really have to be tough. And I think sometimes you got to have a little bench depth to be able to do that, to be able to bring in a kid, you know, he's tired, and, you know, so you got to watch foul trouble too. If you're not very deep in your bench, then you might have to go to a zone. And, you know, I like to run, you know, the 1-3-1s or the 1-2-2 half court trap zones and stuff when I get in foul trouble. But I like to man up if we can. You know, our some of our guards aren't very big guards, so when we play, you know, longer guards, it's tough on them. But I still want them to grind. We're gonna work hard. We're gonna try to speed them up. Try to just throw that shot off by half an inch. You know,
Make them work for everything, I
yeah,
think is the
work
big
for
key.
everything.
Yeah,
But
and because I mean, to your point though, there's a difference between like if a guy scores 20 points on you, that there's a 20 points scored in one capacity, and then there's 20 hard earned points, which there's a huge difference if you got to make that player work for everything that they get. I mean, you're gonna get some rewards probably on the other end if, you know, they're working so
exactly.
hard on offense. Hopefully they'll be burned out a little bit and you can work them a little bit more on the defensive side.
Yeah, because there's not very many kids in the high school level that play both ends extremely hard. They might play, you know, you always see the kids scoring a lot, are usually probably working their butts off on the offensive end, and they're kind of getting a breather on the defensive end. So if you can try to take advantage of that, that's the key. But, you know, you still have to have the players to be able to do that. And sometimes, you know, one thing, man, the kids is some, it's amazing how they can change from game to game how their mental capacity is, like how they just approach the game or who shows up. Sometimes I'm like, which kid's showing up today? You know, you got two personalities, which one's coming in and which one's working? And just kids are just, they're just, I don't know, man. I think a lot of it's, they're just so involved on with social media and stuff now. So anything can swing them, you know, girlfriends can swing them, you know, at home, if something's going on at home, swings them. I never really noticed that as a kid, but I really noticed that as a high school coach, is kids can be affected very quickly, and then it can change the way they're playing the game. And so you got to kind of learn to read that very quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You really got to be able to make sure you can adjust to that. You kind of talked a little bit about the look like for your team, about what a hard work mindset kind of looks like. But I'm going to ask you about your practices, but what do those practices look like, and how do your players demonstrate that hard work mindset and not having any excuses and really just bearing down and having a good practice that really challenges them and pushes them?
Yeah, man. I usually schedule my practices. I'll have different, you know, I'll, you know, this is, we're doing this drill for 10, doing this drill for 5. They always know to come in and stretch, but you know, I'm always on them about jogging to the next drill, or, you know, hey, water break, you got to jog. And what's cool is now some of them are holding themselves accountable to that. It's to where they're holding the team. So I'll call like water break, break it down, you know, and then, you know, they'll jog to the middle, the center of the court, and then a couple kids will be walking and they'll be, hey, get your butt moving over here. Let's go. And someone, you know, might say, oh, sometimes they just throw out silly excuses just to like show face, or I don't know, you know, just when someone's getting on them, and you know, the kids would be, hey, no, that's excuse. Let's go. Let's just get it done. You know, and it's something so simple too, right? Water break, just jog in the middle, break it down. But you'd be surprised how many kids might not jog that day. But the cool thing for me is we're finally having kids hold kids accountable. Because I said, you know, it has to be a player-led team. It can't be a coach-led team all the time. I can't be always on your butt, because, you know, then it's not going to make it fun for you when I'm always on your butt. You guys start holding each other accountable, it'd be funner. But yeah, back to we just structured, and then everything's has a time limit, and then we always never walk on the court. We want to hustle on the court. And then, you know, I just don't. It's just, you got to be there to see it. You know, it's just, kids are moving quickly. We only have so much time. We only practice for a couple hours. We got one gym. It's got two hoops in it. We don't have no side hoops. I have a JV team. We have a girls team. And so we're all sharing this gym. So we gotta be very tight with our time. But if we hustle and do things right, we can get it done. And that's just, you know, hard work, because you gotta always be moving. We're conditioning a lot in our drills. You know, unless they really are dragging butt, I might make them do a 17 or two. And then we just always just kids are always working, man. And if they miss practice, no matter what, it's a rule where we have 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 jump squats, 100 step-ups each leg, 100 thrust, or I forget the other one. It's 100 something. But no matter what, if they have an appointment, yeah, they have to come back and they have to do that no matter what. We just made it a simple rule. If you have an appointment, fine. But if you miss, this is what happens. If you're sick, that sucks. But when you come back, I need you to do this. So it helps you get back into shape quicker. If you're out for grades, guess what? You're going to have a lot to do. We used to make them do bear crawls out on the football field when they were late. Like if they were a minute late, they'd get 100 yards of bear crawls. That fixed that pretty quick.
But it sounds like a lot about just making the most out of your time, because you talk about how limited your space is and how many teams you got to work in. Like every second like counts, and those guys got to make the absolute most of the time that they're out there because of how precious that space and that time is for y'all.
Yeah, man, they learn how to do stuff fast, and we learn how to do it quick and efficient. They're in and out. We actually, since it's so tight, the boys get there 15 minutes early, and we stretch in the school hallways. And so when the girls break down, we're hustling on, and then we're into layup lines, or we're into our defensive slides. Depends on what we want to work, but we're always working on, the fundamentals, being low, athletic stance. But yeah, we gotta hustle. We gotta hustle. We not only share, there's choir concerts that go on in there. There's drone competitions that go on. I mean, so it's very, it teaches them. They gotta be very, they see the organization we have to be in. So it helps them, I'm hoping, pick up on that and how they can be organized for their schoolwork and time management, all the stuff you can squeeze in if you want to, or you can make an excuse why you're not getting it done. My poor son always, he plays for the school too. And he's like, I don't have the time to do this. So we'll sit down and go, okay, let's break down the time. Okay. I do. Oh, so you got 4 hours. You're not doing nothing. How do we take this excuse away? I'm big with him on taking his excuses away. So he'll go, oh, you're right, Dad. And he'll, he'll figure it out. Sometimes it's, I got to hold myself accountable to that because, when you take a loss, it's easy to like, oh, this happened or this happened, instead of just saying, well, what could we have done better? Or what should I have done better as a coach? Because I mean, honestly, if you're losing by 5 or 6 points, sometimes it's my adjustments that aren't working that cost us that game. If the kids are within that realm of, or if they're losing by that much, they're giving you the effort. Shots might not be falling or something. So maybe I need to call a different set. Maybe, instead of shooting a three, we call set to get to the rim and try to get a bucket at the rim. So those little things like that, I got to make sure I'm holding myself accountable so I don't have any excuses. Because it's real easy, man, when you lose to blame. That's the easy part. The hard part is, what can we do to fix it so it doesn't happen again? And, you might fix that, but something else happens. So then you got to, it's just a big circle. You always got to be working on things to get better. And it, like I said, it's not, as a coach, it's hard work to put in the hours watching the film, making sure the boys understand watching film with them. So that's one cool thing we do is we watch film before or after practices a couple of times a week and trying to teach the boys different things. I don't know if you go through this, but a lot of kids don't watch basketball. They watch highlights. So they don't learn like how to really do a swim move back cut or duck under, or, they're not thinking the game. They're just seeing highlights and they're trying to do those highlights. Well, you got to see what happened to get to that highlight,
Yeah. I find the same thing. I find that there's not a lot of, they don't watch a lot of games or full games or don't really, or if they do, like if they don't know any better, they're not going to maybe necessarily look for the things that they should be unless you instruct them or really kind of break it down with it and watch it with them.
Sure. And I don't mean this, it's not like me sounding rude, but I feel like the IQ of the game has kind of gone away. Not with all the players. Cause I think, but I think that's gone away. And so, as a coach, you have to teach more of it because they might not understand. It's crazy how they might understand how to set a screen correctly or what angle to set a screen so you can try to get your guy open. Because if you set it at this angle, the defender can slide through easier. It's just little things like that that take away time from, running more sets or learning more plays because you're actually trying to teach more fundamentals, which is fine, but I'm just saying that's just, I think nowadays we are teaching more of that because a lot of kids can come in and they know how to ISO move and they know how to get a defender to get back off them so they can sidestep and shoot the ball. But how are you help side defensing? Are you seeing man and ball? Be surprised how many kids just spin in a circle when they're guarding their guy and the guy drives right by him. So we just, a lot of that, I try to watch film and show them to pick it up because we don't have as much time on the court to physically walk through all that stuff because we need to be, working on our conditioning. We need to work on our defense and rotations and stuff like that. So especially with limited time.
Yeah, I mean that's the hard work in and of itself is putting the time that's needed to put in the film room and really, have the patience and the commitment and dedication, the focus needed to actually look at film and take notes and study it, because that's not a common trait, I don't think, for a lot of players, unless that's established by the coach that that's something that they need to do.
Exactly.
So with that, you mentioned this a little bit, but I did want to, specifically ask you a question about what do you personally have to do to hold yourself accountable to this hard work mindset? Like, what do you have to be aware of so that you're working as hard as you can? Or do you have others that hold you accountable? But what does it kind of look like, that hard work mindset on your end and holding yourself accountable to it as well?
Yeah, it's tough sometimes, but sometimes it's not that tough because, to be where I am today, I had to work hard to get here. Not a lot of people can be doing what I'm doing at the age of, heck, what am I? I think I turned 44 this month. So, I just got to make sure that I'm very consistent with the boys. I don't waver. They know what they're getting. They know when I say something, I mean it. And so I got to make sure, as far as staying on task and not like playing mental games with them. And so and I think they see the hard work that I've put in, especially when I first started with the boys, because I was waking up at 4 in the morning. I'd get off at 2:30. I'd drive home. I'd be at the school at 3:30 for practice. We'd do practice till 5:30 and we'd be done, or we'd have games. And then, but they see that I work hard. So when they see it and I say it, it kind of translates. And I'm always, given direction. We use the band app for communication, and I'm very consistent in the morning. Here's practice, here's what we're doing. I try to make sure I'm always there and available for the boys. I had a situation where my wife and I went to Hawaii right before the season started, and one of my boys got in a situation, and I get a phone call at like 3 in the morning, but I answer it. And so I'm making sure I'm always available. And I have teacher meetings with the boys. So if they start struggling, we'll go meet with the teacher. What do I need to do to help? So I think it's, the hard work is just me being there for them and showing them and guiding them, but always doing it and being consistent with them. And showing that, hey, if you put in the time, like if you're struggling on your math, had a kid struggling with math. And so we had a meeting with the teacher, and she goes, come in after school, do this and this. So if you go do that stuff, that's hard to do. So that's hard work, and it'll pay off. And right now he's doing a lot better. I mean, but so just those little examples like that. It might not be the definition of like, hey, this is hard work, but it actually is what you're doing is hard work. You might not see it that way, but you putting in the time, that's hard. Not a lot of people will do that. To help me at work, when I was at work, to be very successful, I was very consistent. And the key is always treat the people fair and right and make sure people can trust you. And then they'll work hard for you too, if that makes sense.
And
And I
I
think
think that reliability is a big piece to it. That reliability and dependability, it builds a lot of trust.
for sure. It's and it makes you feel special as a person when they can reach out to you when they're having problems because they trust you enough to try to help them. And so I think a lot of that trust and all that goes a long ways with your athletes, And even, you know, now that I'm subbing, even kids at the school. But you know, they get to see me. They get to see I come in and sub, and then we'll practice. And then, you know, at night I'll be watching film, and I'll send them clips
Yeah,
sometimes,
that's
you
yeah, me
know.
too, me too.
And so they're just seeing that we're always doing something. And so that's the hard work. That's the hard work part of it.
Yeah, it never ends, and I think that always like, oh, it's like what you mentioned, right, about how you talk about your guys, about the work that they put in when no one's watching. And it's kind of in a sense with you as well, right? When you're sending them those clips, it's like nobody's necessarily holding you accountable besides yourself at watching film or doing those things that you're sending to them. So it kind of sends a message to your guys that, like, hey, like, I'm putting in this work when you're not seeing me either.
Yeah, it's kind of funny sometimes. The NFHS network is a great
Oh,
tool.
isn't it? It's great, isn't it?
I love it. And I'll be watching TV and on it, and be trying to find teams we're gonna play. And it's funny, my son will walk in. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to prepare, because preparing costs us nothing. And I'm trying to make sure that we are prepared as a team. You know, this is just him and I's conversation. Team don't get to see this, but he gets to see it. And I'm learning their best players. I'm learning what kind of defense. And then that's when we go, and I'll show them some clips, and then we'll go work on that in practice to try to stop somebody. It doesn't always work, right? But it shows them that no matter what, you need to prepare for things. I always tell them that, you know, you guys always want to spend and buy this, but to prepare for something, it costs you nothing. And why aren't you guys trying to get on YouTube and Google a team you're going to play, or find out who their best player is? You know, and some of them do it, some of them don't. It'd be cool when they all start kind of doing that on their own. That tells me they're really engaged. They're into the culture that I want. But it doesn't happen overnight. It just takes time.
Yeah, and I'm sure you could probably speak to this too. You probably can easily tell the ones who are, putting in that work and putting in that time, and they probably stand out to you right away.
Oh yeah, man. And you can tell a kid that's been out practicing dribbling. I think dribbling is kind of a lost art as far as just basic ball handling, protecting ball, you know. And so when I see a kid in practice getting ripped all the time, and then 3 months later I see that he's protecting, I think practice has something to do with that with me. But I feel like he's at home doing more. I have a kid that struggles with free throws. I know he goes and shoots free throws on his own. I just know he does. He's getting better. His form's getting better. We're working on it. But you, as a coach, like I said at the start of this, you know your boys or girls, and you can tell when somebody's getting better or worse, and you know if they're putting in the work or they're not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, ball handling, it's just one of those things that it's really interesting how obvious it is, at least to me as a coach, for the players who put in that work, and are always dribbling the ball and always dribbling, always going at it, and just doing the basic stuff, over and over again of, nothing fancy necessarily, or any like all these combo moves, but just working on, just pounding the ball or, protecting the ball and just using their offhand and stuff like that. Just the amount of growth that can happen. And, there's so many opportunities to work on ball handling too. That's what I try to tell my girls. And some of them really do a good job taking advantage of that and always dribbling a basketball around. And man, they just improve by leaps and bounds.
Oh yeah, and I guarantee you see it as a coach. And heck, you don't need a hoop, you don't need nothing, just get a ball. And you know, if you can't afford one, let me know. We'll go to Walmart and I'll get you a little outdoor rubber ball, man.
Oh yeah.
And just go and just dribble it around. Just dribble it around. I have no issues with helping if you don't, you know. But you definitely can tell the kid's working.
And that's I think a little small piece to that, like, hard work mindset is, and I've noticed this with a lot of like the really really good players I've worked with, who will like they'll always look for a solution to something like that, right? If they don't have a basketball, they don't have a ride, or they don't have this, that, or the other, like they'll find a way. And they'll look for a way to do something versus a way to get out of something. And I think that if you have that culture piece in place where, players will, do whatever it is they need to find a way to get to practice or, find a way to, get access to a basketball or, find somebody that they can study with. When that mindset's there, I think that just the potential of the team and the program just, man, that like shoots up to the moon.
100%. Yeah, and it's kind of fun. It's cool that you say that because I have a couple kids that sometimes they can't make it and they have an excuse. And I'm like, hey, man, all you got to do is give me like 15 minutes head up. I'll come get you. Heads up. Tell me. Communicate, And then I'll have other kids riding their bike or they'll run or they'll literally run to practice. And then I'll be like, what's wrong? Like, oh, I had to run today. Well, you know what? I'll give you a ride home. Thanks, coach. But it's crazy. It's percentages. I always tell the boys it's like shooting and everything. There's a certain percentage of people that are going to do this and do that and do that. But the more percentage of you that buy into this can make it a lot more fun, for you guys, especially when you're on game day and you know where each other's going to be and you could trust each other. That comes all with the hard work that you put in and not making excuses why you can't be to practice.
What do you see now as the culture of your program now that this mindset of hard work has been put in? As you kind of look at where it was when you were first observing from the stands to now, like what do you kind of see now for your program in terms of where the culture's at? And then what do you kind of see hopefully for the program as you look towards the future?
Well, one thing I do see is it's kind of cool is because our school, we're not the best at all. A lot of the sports programs are, they usually have a losing record. And our program, when I first got there as an assistant coach and was partially a head coach that year, we only won 5 games. And so we started putting in work in the summer. And so last year we had a pretty successful year. We made it to the Elite Eight. And, people got to start to see who we were. And it was crazy because that summer came around. Then some of the girls were asking, hey, how do I come and work out with you? And even one of the coaches tried to start, hey, because a lot of kids make excuses and make miss practices. So I don't like it. And I pressure that. I even talked to the parents in our parent meeting. I want everyone at practices all the time. That's the only way you get better. And so that started to translate over to some of our other programs where they give that speech and they're telling their parents, hey, we need to be here. Hey, look at our basketball program. This is what they do. This is why they're successful. And so it makes me feel good, like maybe we're changing some of the stuff in the school culture too, and not just sports and basketball. But to where I see the future to the program is I just want to keep it growing like this, and the mindset of I'm available, but I want us all to put in the same amount of work, and that's where I want it to get to, is where they're bugging me all the time to be in the gym. I have like three or four that bug me right now. I would love it if they all bugged me because I don't have anything else to do. So if we can get in the gym and work, I'm good. But I'm not, I try to push and I try not to push because I understand not all of these kids are going to want to go play college ball. Everyone thinks they want to, but they don't know what it takes. They don't understand how much time and work you have to put in the craft to go play college basketball. And so I want to make sure that as a coach that's been at a JUCO level, and then now at the high school level, that I balance that because I don't want to burn kids out either. Because some kids are here to have just a good high school experience. And I guess some of the things that I've learned as a coach from, the last few years is I want to treat it like a college program, but I can't because I got to understand that these kids are here to have fun too. And they're there to build relationships. And I want that. I don't want them leaving and like, gosh, I don't want to play basketball. But at the same point, I want to be, there's a fine line there where if you want to play college ball, I'm going to push you to find out if you really do, because I know what it takes to play,
And JUCO
or
is
I
no
know how it's
joke.
recruited, and it's no joke. And so some of them boys, yeah, I want it. And then I can tell in their demeanor, everything starts to change a little bit after 2 or 3 months, because I'm grinding on them. If you ever, like, that's one thing the boys like, I'm a nonstop. I'll just nonstop on you and push you. And I see them, their demeanor changes, and so I got to start letting off on them, because I know, you know what? I think they get it. I think they get it, and let's just have fun playing high school basketball. And if things work out for you, maybe you can play college. But I just don't think kids truly understand, you know, all these, you see all these guys, I want D1 out. You don't even, it's a whole nother world you're trying to get into. And right now you're not working hard enough, you know? So.
Yeah, just the work that's required at that level, I think. I mean, that's probably something that's really beneficial for you, is that you can speak on that experience. And like you said, you even at a college level, no matter what level, is incredibly competitive, incredibly tough, and you can speak from that experience and tell your guys, like, all right, if this is something you really want to do, I'll show you what that actually looks like, because I've been there and been around that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was the coach, you know, he trained me how he wanted it to be, and he was, you know, that, like, that Last Chance U. Did you ever watch, have you
Yeah,
watched that on Netflix?
absolutely.
Yeah, so over Christmas break, I had the boys, they had to watch it and write a 500-page report on it and get back to me on how they felt about that. And it was awesome. They all did it. Some struggled. Come on, coach, it's our break, you know, and I was like, no, I just want you to watch it and try to learn something from it. You know, who do you relate to as a player? Who do you think you relate to on that? And does everyone have to score 20 points to get a scholarship? Or can some dude just play flat out defense and take charges and get a scholarship? I said, everybody has a role. Not everyone is going to be a 20-point scorer in college. I mean, most kids don't even score 20 in college. Most kids don't average that even in college. Your good guys might average 15, 16, 17. But so you got to find your role. What's your role? Watch that. Watch how coach is. And they're like, man, you're like that guy sometimes. I go, yeah, I can be, but I try not to be. But yeah, I can chew some butt.
I can put it on, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a cool thing for them to watch, and a lot of them really enjoyed watching it. They'd never Some of them hadn't even watched the first one. And that's what I mean. Some of these kids, they're just playing the game, but they're not learning the game. And so I think making them watch some of this different stuff like that makes them kind of learn the game too a little bit. So I think, you know, if anything too that changes in the culture is, I think I need to spend more time watching film and watching plays and showing the kids how to really, really do this. So you're spending some time off the court and on the court in the summers. In the summers, it's always been, we've just been on the court, but I think I need to change it a little bit to where we're off the court learning too.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot, and especially again, you really get to you they really get to see what it's all about. That show is no joke, and the people on that are no joke, especially the
Yeah, they're
coaches on that show.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. They're like, oh man, that guy was a D1 and he didn't pass his math test and they cut him. I'm like, hey, obviously he might have pissed him off too, because you know, he might have did something wrong or did something at the school that he shouldn't have done, and that gave him an excuse to get him out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then there's one thing that really stood out is the kid from Phoenix out here that really, as a coach, bothered me, is like, the kid didn't even have a degree. He didn't even graduate with a degree, a diploma. It felt like everyone was using that kid in high school. And then once he was done, they let him go. And that bothered me as a coach. Is like, I never want to have that. I never want to have a kid like that. If I have a kid like that, I might as well quit. I might as well give up coaching. If I'm going to just use a kid and not help him, at least get his high school degree, you know, because that's, I don't know. It's kind of my soapbox right there.
Yeah,
It's like
yeah.
it just that pissed me off. But anyway, it was a great show, and I love that the kids got to watch it. And they complained about the 500 board report.
but they got something out of it.
Yes,
So,
sir. Yes, sir.
yeah, absolutely. So before I ask you my last couple questions, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. So I want to ask you this question, which is, what advice would you give to a new coach who maybe is, looking to take over a program, maybe looking to rebuild or kind of restructure their program a little bit, and really looking to put in that hard work mindset? What advice would you give them on what they maybe should be looking to do, day one, week one, the first month, to really set the tone?
Always be there for your kids. Make sure that if you're just building, if you don't have a lot of talent, you got to make sure how hard you are on the kids too. I think I learned that is like some of the kids aren't at the same skill level as others, so you have to make sure you're coaching them a little different. Just like, in the real world, everyone's different and you got to treat people different. You got to approach people differently. I think you have to make sure you're approaching each of your athletes different and give them different things to work on to get better. And then at the same time, your athletes that are skilled, you have to be able to push them, but not expect the other guys to keep up with them. So you have to challenge them all in different ways. You have to be there for them, and you got to be in the gym. If you can't get a gym, be outside. We live in Phoenix. I've had multiple practices outside, that because we can't get in the gym, and there's a lot of parks. But if as a new coach, you have to be willing to put in a lot of time and more time than you probably going to want to if you want to be successful.
Yeah, it is a process, right?
Yeah.
It is a journey, that is for sure. And I think that, I think even for me, as I think about my coaching career, sometimes think about like that hard work mindset that we're talking about. But it's not just hard work, of course it is, but it's also it's a long journey, and it's not going to all be changed or fixed or anything in one day or one week or one practice. And it is an ongoing process, and you
Yeah.
really have to commit to that process for sure.
And yes, and so I'll add another thing to that is making sure the parents understand that, because sometimes the parents don't understand how much work you have to put in to be good at something, and they think sometimes it can happen overnight. And I got kids that I've been working with for 3 years. If you would have saw them 3 years ago till now, but it took us 3 years to get there. It took us 3 years to get there, night and day. But that's what people got. I mean, as a family too, the family needs to understand if you're really committed and you want to get good at anything, you got to put a lot of work into your craft and a lot of time. And that's hard. That's hard work.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I mean, maybe if you're taking over a struggling program or one that hasn't had a lot of success, maybe it's because they hadn't put that time in, and now you're gonna, be in there and be like, hey, well, this is the amount of time that we got to put in there in order for us to be where we want to be, and like that could be a little bit of a shock at first. So, gotta
Yeah.
lay that expectation there.
And man, once you set your schedule, as the coach, you can't be making excuses why, oh, I got to cancel practice. I gave off this last Friday. It was the first time I gave off the kids. I gave them a 3 day weekend. I just felt we needed it. And I've never done that in the 3 years I've been there. We're always, if we're going, we're going. And so just make sure if you're starting up or any, I don't know, that's the advice I would give is just don't be canceling stuff because you're tired or whatever. There's going to be days you're tired and you're dragging butt and you don't want to be there, but you know what? You have to be there so you can show the example.
Yeah, and show them that, even you'll show up and put in the work, even if you're not, necessarily feeling at your best, and showing that commitment.
Yes, sir.
So to wrap up, coach, there's a couple questions I ask every guest. So go ahead and start with this first one here. Thinking back on your coaching career, what is a moment from your coaching career that you think others listening would be able to learn from?
Maybe not, I don't know, being so hard on, I don't know, I that's tough because I think that's why kid, just can you repeat it again for me real quick?
Yeah,
'Cause I'm,
thinking, so
yeah.
if you had to think back to your time as a coaching career, is there a moment or like an experience or something that you went through that you think that if you talked about it, like others listening would be able to kind of learn from that and kind of learn from that experience that you had?
Hunter, oh yeah, I got one. Trust your gut. When you
Okay,
see
here we go.
something, when you see something, feel something, you know it. I'll give an example. It was my second year, and we were going out to recruit. And we go out to watch this kid. It's in Omaha, Nebraska. And we get there, and coach says, I want you to figure out which kid we're coming to watch. So we're watching this kid, and this kid could light it up. I mean, long shot way above his head, smooth. I mean, smooth. And I was like, "Are we? There's no way we're here to watch that kid because he, we as a JUCO and a Division II, we don't always get that kind of kid." And I'm like, "There's no way we're here to watch him. We got to be, nope, we're here to watch him." And so I go, "Man, there's got to be something wrong, coach. There's got to be something wrong." And he goes, "No, let's just watch him." Man, he'd come out the game and he'd look at his coach, wouldn't even five him, wouldn't even five him. He'd go sit at the end of the bench. And I knew right there, I go, coach, that's what's wrong with him. He goes, ah, we can change him though, right? And I go, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's been baby, you know, some of these kids have been babied through club ball and everything, and they get to do what they want and say what they want. And I was like, I don't want to recruit him. He goes, well, we're recruiting him. So he's the boss. So we recruit him, and 3 months into the season, long story short, we're in a game, and coach is getting on him, and he loses it and starts trying to fight our coach during a game. And
Oh, wow.
oh yeah, it was a numbing experience. It was we were up north at North Platte. It was I'm just thinking about it right now, and it was just like I can just remember being like, is this really happening to us? Is this like you know, you see things or you hear about things. I go, this is the dude was on our coach and the kids had to pull him off. He left the arena. I chased him down. Coach goes, you got to go get him, you got to talk to him. So I went out there and he was crying. I had a moment with him where, you know, we're sharing tears, and he knew it was the last time he's ever going to play basketball. And so it's giving me goosebumps right now, but it was a moment that I'll always remember. And I tell my, you know, I tell that story sometimes. I don't tell it to a lot of people, but now it's on a podcast. But yeah, he never played again. And, you know, the next day we're at practice or whatever, and he didn't ever come back to school. And coach is like, you're right. And I was like, you know what, man? I didn't want to be right. Not like
Yeah, you
this.
don't want to be right about something like that.
I don't want to be right about something like this. But, you know, trust your gut, trust your feelings about, you know, a kid. You know, even in high school, you can, you know, trust your gut and try to make sure you're doing the, you know, the right things to trust it.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that because something, you know, that gut feeling is there for a reason, right?
Oh yeah.
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 Coach, to wrap up, I give every guest what I kind of call a 60-second soapbox, but don't worry, I'm not going to time you. But it's your platform to kind of get out kind of a final message, kind of a closing thought, just kind of a final idea, something that you just kind of want to leave the listeners with, and you can kind of take it really in any direction you want, but I just kind of want to give you the floor one last time to get out whatever that final message or final idea is. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, coach, and I'm just gonna let you go for it.
Yeah, man. I don't, there's a lot of different things as a coach that I definitely seen different out in the Phoenix area. The difference is, kids moving from school to school, coaches recruiting. It's a reality. It's really out there. So, I think, there's been a lot of talk about kids getting to transfer here and doing that. But some of these coaches out here, are basically breaking the rules right in front of their kids, and they're teaching their kids a bad thing. And I don't understand why they do it, or maybe they don't think they're doing it right. And so it's just like, I sometimes want to be real petty with it, because I've had coaches, I've got a couple kids that are pretty talented, and I've got the parents that come up to me and say, "Hey, man, look at these text messages from these coaches trying to get the kids to come over here and here." And I'm like, I just shake my head, and I don't do nothing with it, because I don't think I even want to go down that road with people, because I don't want to be in a mess like that. But I just think, I wish coaches would be and just be more like honest, and just try to follow the rules. If the kid wants to go to your program, let him come. Don't go out recruiting, because then it just leaves a bad taste, when you see those coaches out and about. And I don't like it, because then you're feeling bad thoughts, and you just want to say something, but you don't. Coach Coletti, him and I've talked a lot about different things, and he's just like, don't go to their level. And so, I try not to, but sometimes I just want to call some guys out. And I just, I guess I'm on a little soapbox, but that's where it's just like, as a coach, I just know I got to keep building my program, because I know coaches are going to come and try to take my kids. And if they take them, they take them. But I just got to focus on the ones I got, and I got to keep trying to work with them in the summers, and just keep building the ones I have. And I guess my little soapbox is
Yeah.
just, I just wish, just let the kids go where they want to go, and try not to persuade them, I guess.
Yeah, and you and I both know out in Arizona, it's crazy
It's
out there right now,
way
the
different out here,
culture.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, wow. I'm just grateful I don't coach football, because I have no idea how people manage coaching football out here in this state.
I know, I'm on Twitter, like, it's kind of funny. The kids are like, "Hey, man, you need to get, up to date a little bit." So I got Instagram now, and I got Twitter, and it's sometimes just like watching a series on TV, some of the stuff that said and goes thrown back at each other, and I just kind of try to stay out of it.
Yeah, sometimes that's really all you can do, right? Is just
Because
try
it's
and
not
just.
like I can do anything about it, so why stress about it?
Yeah, 100%. Coach Hill, I want to thank you for coming on here, talking about your program, talking about hard work, culture, the things that you're doing out there, at Highland Prep and everything. It sounds like you got a great thing going, and it looks like the journey's still going strong for you. So best of luck going forward, Coach. Really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man. Coach, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you all for listening. This was another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast, and we will see you guys next.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Make sure to connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, or reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Take care, be safe, and we'll see you next time.